The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Mike Rupert. It is Sunday, July 17th, 2011, and I got to tell you, this has been an amazing day. I've never done a run-up to this show where I was working frantically to get everything prepared as a result of breaking news, and there's some amazing breaking news going on. The world is really going to shit. We know that, but what's happening too is a huge clash of the titans, and we're going to talk about that tonight, about the public evisceration of Rupert Murdoch, which is far from over. But I want to start off the show tonight by giving us a little pep talk, giving all of us a little pep talk. On July 15th, Oak Park, Michigan, it's a little city in Michigan that was getting ready to throw a woman named Julie Bass in jail for 97 days for the heinous crime of growing food in her front yard. Well, they dropped all charges on July 15th. That was Friday. And if you remember, last week we did a huge segment on what that travesty was about making it shameful to grow organic food that one could afford for one's children. We unleashed a torrent. We got a ton of feedback here on this radio show and our emails. We got it all over CollapseNet because I did a big article there, but also Huffington Post. I mean, everybody went to town on Oak Park, Michigan, and what happened there from a public relations standpoint was the equivalent of an atom bomb dropped right on their heads. They caved in completely, and that shows that we have more power than we have thought, or then, you know, that basically we've been taught to believe that we are impotent, and we're not. A couple more cool examples. Stephen Colbert got on the air this week because there's a company named Talisman Energy that had decided to produce a child's coloring book on the benefits of fracking. Needless to say, it was about as truthful as a check written by Bernie Madoff. But the public outcry over that forced Talisman Energy to withdraw the coloring book. And here's a cool one we had on the World News Desk today. In Spain, flash mobs are now responding to home foreclosures in progress and preventing them. They're using flash mobs, you know, to say the Delgado's house is being foreclosed, and boom, they surround the house and they prevent anybody from entering. This is a sign of a healthy expression of the anger, the really long-held, pent-up anger that many of us have had. And we are more powerful than we know, and now we are effective. We're a force on a field. And I heard Gary talking about standing up and fighting. Yes, it's time for all of us to do all of that, but there are some fights that are going to be more important, I think, than others. Consider this. Within the space of the last 48 hours, Les Hinton, the CEO of Dow Jones, that's the company which owns the Wall Street Journal and MarketWatch, he resigned for his connections to the criminal activity of Rupert Murdoch's tabloid empire when he was the chairman of News International, the one that shut down, the source of the current scandal. Rebecca Brooks, who was the chief executive of the same News International Corporation after resigning days ago, was arrested today by Scotland Yard for her criminal activities in service to the Rupert Murdoch empire. Gets better. And today, Paul Stevenson, the chief of Scotland Yard, the chief, the cop, head cop at Scotland Yard, resigned suddenly after it was disclosed that Neil Wallace, his personal media advisor to the chief of Scotland Yard, was the former deputy editor of Murdoch's News of the World while it was engaging in illegal wiretaps of royals, celebrities, you know, George Galloway, Gordon Brown, Prince William, don't make any difference. They can get to anybody's phone, political figures and anyone who might have a story that could change the status quo. And it's beginning to feel like Stevenson, the guy who was the chief of Scotland Yard, was the bagman for the wiretaps. You know, that's just the way it kind of smells to me. We'll see how that plays. But what this reveals is a couple of things. Rupert Murdoch is one of the most supremely powerful individuals in the world. And there's a new videotape that's out on the net by a guy who I know named Gordon Duff. Gordon Duff is the senior editor of Veterans Today. And there's a video up on YouTube you might want to catch called Gordon Duff Demystifies Rupert Murdoch. It is a brilliant tape. Now, let me tell you how I know Gordon Duff. Back in about 1999, as I just started From the Wilderness and I was involved in a lot of research into covert activities going back to Vietnam and drug smuggling, I came across Gordon Duff. And he is a decorated veteran of Vietnam. He's a Marine. And he's a very honorable guy. That's how I know him. His word's always been good. He's always been level-headed. And in this day and age, honor is liquidity in the world of the commerce of ideas. Honor is something that that doesn't exist in the world that's failing, but men and women of honor now can function much easier, than the old paradigm can. They have to go through secrets and everything else. But Gordon Duff's a good guy, and he made a really great tape. I got a couple of minor issues on his overview and so forth, but I can tell you that what the man writes is totally accurate because I've written the same things in Crossing the Rubicon, and we wrote them at From the Wilderness. And basically, here's the issue. Rupert Murdoch is an Israeli. He is an Israeli agent, as was his ancestral prototype, Robert Maxwell, who drowned at the end of Iran-Contra in 91 by falling off his yacht. And as a matter of fact, some of the same tabloids were involved, I think, who was outed as a Mossad agent. But this is now clearly being revealed, and it's clearly an attack on the overwhelming Israeli influence on American politics and the world financial scene. The crown has turned against Rupert Murdoch. It looks like the U.S. government is going to turn against Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch has determined outcomes of elections. Tony Cameron's a pocket puppet of Murdoch's, and so was Tony Blair. And Fox News, we all remember the absolute dishonesty and disingenuity with which Fox News manipulated events after September 11th. We all have bones to pick with Fox. Well, they're on the table. Now, as far as Rupert Murdoch goes, he's not a guy you take on lightly, and whoever's doing this is doing this is an amazing assault on Rupert Murdoch. He's being eviscerated in public, blow after blow after blow, no time to recover, no time to recover, more. As long, however, as Rupert Murdoch controls Fox News, he hasn't been beaten. Rupert Murdoch is like Dracula. You have to hold a mirror in his face. You got to rub garlic on him, sprinkle him with holy water, drive a stake through his heart, cut off his head, chop him into a million pieces, burn him, and scatter his ashes to the wind. Then you'll know you've won, because he will come back otherwise. So this is a fight to the death. And Murdoch, I would agree with Gordon Duff that Murdoch is the agent of a general manager for, let's call it, the Rothschild interest. Now, before anybody goes this way, and I fully expect to be attacked for this, but CollapseNet is going to write one of the single most scathing article we have published since we've been in business. It's going to come out tomorrow about this, because it's time to stand up and fight. But Rupert Murdoch represents a faction of the infinite growth monetary paradigm, which has a power base in Israel. Let me be clear. Israel is a country, and Judaism is a religion. One can attack the actions of the country without condemning the spiritual beliefs in any way. That's a mind game that's used to stop this. But it is time for the Israeli power to be challenged. And there is an opening here, this feud. Now, the big question for me is, who are the people who are going after Murdoch? We don't know yet. But I think we're going to find out more. Having been a detective and written Crossing the Rubicon, I have to look at the sequence of events with Dominique Strauss-Kahn. And in looking at those, what do we see? We see that Strauss-Kahn was busted based upon the fact that somebody had access to his cell phone messages even while he was on the way to the airport or something like that. Then they came up with the phone call to the hotel, and then lo and behold, all these phone conversations. And trust me, as long as I've been around intelligence gathering and spookery, when I saw the kinds of conversations they got out of the maid in New York, I said, that's got to be the most sophisticated stuff in the world being used here. But there seems to be a sniff-out connection here. Now, it's kind of foolish to think that Rupert Murdoch would be able to own the head of Scotland Yard, and he hasn't bribed anybody in New York City. Forget about it. So what we need now is we need those of us who understand the power that we have, and I'm talking about all of us being also a group of great publications, whether it's Zero Hedge, Business Insider, Huffington Post. You'll see them on the World News Desk. The great Max Kaiser has been a guest on this show. We're all, like, getting this now, and there's a beautiful... We aren't conspiring with each other. We're just seeing where the wedges are, and this is the biggest wedge I have seen in all the years I've been doing what I do. This guy is being taken out. It's musical chairs on Mount Olympus. And I really want to know who's orchestrating this, and I'm suspecting it might be whatever faction Dominique Strauss-Kahn really represents, which he's nominally a socialist, but see, there are factions on Olympus, but whoever these guys are that are standing up now, they've got some horsepower. They've got some amazing horsepower. So we're going to have a big article coming up on this for members only tomorrow on CollapseNet. We just passed 5,000 members, and thank you to all of you who made that possible in 63 countries. And I'm not worried that we don't have 150,000 members, because I know I have a good sense of who our 5,000 members are, what they do, and what they're capable of. And we have some amazing, active, aware, participating people as members on CollapseNet, and we link you to all the rest around the world. But that should go up tomorrow, and I'm going to link a lot to Promise Software. And those who have followed me for a long time knows that the saga of Promise Software and P-TECH, which FTW was writing exposés on right up until we were shut down, when our computers were smashed, when I was set up on sexual harassment charges, and when I was poisoned in Venezuela. That's what we were pushing as hard as anything else, and it's the Promise Software that enables the hacking of all these phones. But that same Promise Software and P-TECH is what outfits like J.P. Morgan use to manipulate the trades on the markets, with all of these automated trades that constitute, 70% of the trades every day are all programmed trades. That's all Promise Software, designed to keep up the illusion, balancing ones and zeros. It's very sick. But that article's going up tomorrow. And as I watch this happening, and I'm seeing a guy, Rupert Murdoch, who absolutely, totally has it coming, start to get some just desserts, I start to get warm inside. I start to get a little smile. Because a lot of us have been waiting to see some of these people get some balancing, for lack of a better term, for what they have done, and the coldness and the callousness with which they have done it. So this article will be up tomorrow. You want to go see that video, Gordon Duff Demystifies Rupert Murdoch, on YouTube, but that'll just be a part of this long article that I'm writing, and I'm going to put out a lot of information for those of you who know how to pick up pens or keyboards, who know how to make phones ring. What we want is an all-out investigation of Fox News, and we want to find any connections between anyone. Of course, Rupert Murdoch owns Fox News, but we want to tie Fox into the phones with DSK or to any kind of conduct, because as long as Rupert Murdoch holds on to Fox News and Fox News remains nominally untarnished, nobody gets to walk away with any sense of satisfaction. Because then what we're going to see is we will see all the influence that Rupert Murdoch has done through his criminality, through Fox News and all of the people associated with it, and that includes many other talking heads from other networks that I would love to see get absolutely tarnished and disgraced. So with all of that in mind, and if I sound angry tonight, you're right, I am. I'm ready for a fight. My article tomorrow is going to be dedicated to an old mentor of mine, Chief Warrant Officer Bill McCoy. McCoy, that's how he answered the phone. 6'4", 6'5", one of the greatest spy catchers in Army CID history and bad guy catchers. And one of his favorite lines to me was, "Don't shoot until you get a headshot." For those of us in the lifeboat movement, whatever we call ourselves, those of us who understand that we have to end the control of the infinite growth monetary paradigm, a headshot is lining up. And what I'm saying is it's lining up. We have more power than we know. We want New York State to investigate Fox. We want Eric Holder to press charges over the investigation he started about Rupert Murdoch's publications eavesdropping on the Jersey Girls, the 9/11 widows who were asking questions, and I have some history there in case you don't know. We want full press. We want a full court press on Rupert Murdoch here for all the crimes. And if the United States government and if the New York State government does not step up to that, they have no credibility anywhere, and they should be told that. Let's bring Murdoch down. Let's drag these screaming worms out into the light so that we can learn, because we still want to know who it is that's taken Murdoch down. It's time for a new white trash song. I picked the angriest song that I wrote with new white trash, and it is so appropriate. It's a song that started as a parody, and then it just became scathing. And at the end of the song, Andy Kravitz, who was the founder of New White Trash with Doug Lewis and myself, threw his drumsticks on the floor. We kind of blew that out of the water. The song is called Advertising. advertising. Rupert Murdoch. We got about 10 minutes. I already see messages coming in, but we got a lot to cover tonight. We got a lot of other very important things going on, so I want to move on to some of those first. Let me just add something, and maybe I'll pick up the harder news. We are looking at a U.S. government default, seriously, and we're going to talk about that in some detail after we come back from the break. And we also need to talk about Iraq tonight. But I want to talk about something that relates to this whole idea of us standing up, being seen, being heard, and being acknowledged. This is a metaphor I'll use, but any of you out there who are into Native American spirituality will appreciate these stories. Shortly after I moved here to Sebastopol, I was driving down the road with a friend, slowly, it was a back road, and a fox walked out of the woods, stopped right in the middle of the road, and just looked at our car, you know, for about 3 seconds, and then calmly walked across the road. Of course, Mark, the guy driving, he goes, "Wow, did you see that? Holy cow!" And about a week after that, maybe a month after that, my dog Rags was out on on the lower end of the 2 acres we got here. We got a big drop front to back, and he and a dog Maestra had cornered a fox, and Rags caught the fox in his jaws, and the fox was hanging limp from Rags's jaw, and I heard the foxes scream. A fox cry just really gets to you. So I ran over, saw what it was. I said, "Rags, no." And Rags set the fox down and backed off. And the fox was playing dead. And after about 15 seconds, the fox stood up and just gave me this look. It was like, "Hey, I owe you one, buddy," and walked off into the woods. Now, if you're into Native American spirituality, fox medicine, among other things, means invisibility, which I think very much applies to all of us, but I think I can speak for this personally, and I think I'll allow myself that indulgence, which is that I am invisible to the mainstream media. They cannot see me. They cannot see us in Peak Oil. They cannot see all the people, the Zero Hedge, the Max Kaisers. As a matter of fact, Max said that when he was a guest on the show. He says they don't mess with me. They can't even acknowledge I exist. And that's the power of the invisibility in fox medicine. Gandhi said that first they ignore you, then they fight you, then you win. And in order to fight us, they have to see us, and they would have to see me, the work that I had done on Promise Software, Fox News, 9/11, all the corruption on Wall Street, Peak Oil, and they would have to see me, and in seeing me, they would have to acknowledge that that work exists. Well, what we want, and now I'm lumping all of us together, whether it's Zero Hedge or Business Insider or Max Kaiser, any of the, you know, Huffington Post is doing, all of us, when they see us, we've won. We will have won. And really, because nobody can argue with it is with what it is we said. In April, I issued a very clear economic alert to all of our members at CollapseNet, and I said, we have until July. And here we are in July, and it's unraveling exactly the way I said it was going to unravel, even a little worse and in some strange ways. But it is all coming undone, which leads us to the default, which we're going to pick up on after the break. But the default, which will cause a market collapse, will be used to cover all the systemic collapse that's taking place as a result of Fukushima, Peak Oil, and everything else, because the powers that be would much rather blame it on an anomalous event like the U.S. government defaulting than a systemic failure, which is what's really happening. So it's time for us to pick and choose our battles, to make them see us, because we all understand now what's at stake. There are 12 million people dying of thirst in Africa right now. In Japan, there were two separate stories. I don't know how many, maybe 100 cattle in two separate stories, who had eaten straw filled with radioactive cesium, ingested that into the meat. They've already been butchered and eaten throughout Japan. These stories are breathtaking now in terms of the pain that is being felt with collapse. And we can all see that that beast is coming for us. And it's becoming clear, as I've been writing for a good many years now, that until we change the money work, the way money works, we change nothing. And now some opportunities, as a result of this musical chairs, this fighting going on, amongst the powers that be that control the infinite growth paradigm, is giving us opportunities. Or better said, perhaps, it is widening the gaps, the spaces, and the crevasses between the ones and zeros of Cartesian tyranny. We have more room to run. So with that, maybe we'll take a little station break. We'll take you out with another new white trash song. You can find all of the 37 original songs, which are getting more relevant by the day, now almost 2 years later, at newwhitetrash.com. We will be right back with you after the break.
When you're feeling down, hello, we've got toys for your mind.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman from What Women Must Know. You can listen to me every Monday at 2 p.m. I am a naturopathic doctor, author, psychotherapist, lecturer, and passionate women's health advocate. And this is a show all about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. We have a chance for explorations and in-depth conversations into subjects that women must know. This is all about empowering women of all ages to get truthful information, as well as the chance to explore safe and holistic solutions for women's unique health challenges. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self.
I'm Steve Barnett. I'm your host for the Paradise Parking Lot, a show about environmental matters. We are on the air every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. This is a program for both the curious and the savvy about environmental matters. We discuss things in depth, and we present points of view that you probably have not heard before. Our programs are archived on Progressive Radio Network, so you can listen to any of the previous programs. Again, it's the Paradise Parking Lot. I'm Steve Barnett, and it is the most in-depth, sophisticated environmental show you will ever come across.
To City's Grace Notes, where we'll be bringing you inspired voices from around the world, creative voices from various fields and backgrounds, new sounds, new music, and new ideas with your host, CD, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
Progressive Radio Network is proud to bring you the most up-to-date, cutting-edge commentaries 24 hours a day and 7 days a week.
We are not happy. We are angry. And you're going to hear more about it, I believe, and I believe it's time we gave them all a big dose of we've had enough, or I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Two really, really important stories came out this week, both coincidentally on CNBC. Which, as we know, is not the fountain of rigorous, honest, investigative, truthful journalism. It's often a conduit for the kind of mind programming Rupert Murdoch does. But, okay, you know, we read those stories a lot because we don't just discount them, because there's all kinds of useful information. And those stations and those networks also have to do some real news for the insiders in the system who know where to look to find the reporting that's useful. Bloomberg is a classic case for that, and Reuters. And Reuters is pretty decent, but they're flawed. But CNBC, too. I mean, you find good news stuff there. The first story is was published on the 13th of July by Shai Ahmed, and the title is U.S. Default Inevitable Fund Manager. A U.S. default isn't a matter of if, but when, David Murren, chief investment officer at Emergent Asset Management, told CNBC. Quote, it's inevitable that the U.S. will default. It's essentially an empire which is overextended and in decline. No kidding. And that its financial system will go with, and with that, its financial system will go with it, he said. The question is, does the U.S. default when it is forced to by the outside world, probably the Chinese, think about that, or does it take the option to default on its own terms in such a way as it may have a strategic advantage, Murren said. Then, on the same day, July 13th, by John Malloy, here's the headline. Will Congress let U.S. default and stocks crash to get a deal? Investors and analysts say there is a possibility that some members of Congress would knowingly let the U.S. default on its debt, causing a market collapse that would provide political cover for them to compromise on the deficit without upsetting their constituents. Quote, without a pathway to agreement on raising the debt ceiling, we note the increased likelihood that Congress may need a catalyst such as a negative market reaction to the debt ceiling debate to force it to cut a deal. Okay. That really says it pretty clearly, and y'all should be able to understand that. But let me just spell it out for you. The first ever economic alert that I ever wrote was it from the Wilderness, my old newsletter, which was in business for 8.5 years. But I published this on September the 9th, 2001. And in that economic alert, and you can find that on the From the Wilderness website, you can find it, we have a mirror site with a better search engine, copvcia.com. But the first ever economic alert, I said very clearly that within a week or 2 weeks, there's going to be a major collapse in the Dow of 1,000 to 2,000, maybe 3,000 points. And it happened. And it was attributed to 9/11. No, I am not saying that the U.S. government perpetrated the attacks of September the 11th in order to hide that, but they knew it was coming. And those are the same powers that also control the financial markets through Promise Software, through people like Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Dow Jones, who owns the Wall Street Journal, who owns Fox News, who owns MarketWatch. Okay? That they, knowing that the attack was coming, ran the market up to a red line point where they knew it was going to crash, and so they had established their alibi, and they took advantage of it. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen on August 2nd. I'm more convinced of it by the day. And now take heed, because I am not invisible in one sense, because we know as a result of the hacking that took place and the electronic attack that took place that we stood up to recently, and as a result of, you know, the connections I've kept over the years, we know that the White House reads CollapseNet every day. We know that they watch Huffington Post, Business Insider, Zero Hedge, Max Kaiser. They watch all of us first to find out what's going on to try to stay ahead of the game. They don't acknowledge us, therefore they must not be reading us, but they do. They're going to take note that I said that the default was going to take place, and they're going to take note that other people are wise to this game now. What they cannot do is admit to the systemic failure of the infinite growth paradigm. They can't admit the game is over. They need to keep us believing in that game, because that's how they will kill us. And that's how they are killing us. So, given that, a couple days later, we had a big breaking news story up on CollapseNet that a senior advisor to the People's Bank of China had said, holy shit, U.S. is going to default and the $3.2 trillion in debt we hold will be worthless. Now, here's the way that works. In the event of a default, meaning that the debt ceiling is not raised and Congress cannot, you know, no more checks can be written because that's all that's been authorized by the House of Representatives and Treasury and the President, then the checks can't go out. And that's all checks. Checks for active duty military personnel, checks for aid to families with dependent children, checks for Social Security, checks for Medicare, federal pension checks. Most importantly, though, is the checks to all the companies out there who make things for Uncle Sam, who will not be able to pay their employees. And also included in what the U.S. has to pay is interest on all the money that we've borrowed. That's called debt service. And the debt service is now, somebody will correct me, but I'm thinking 40% of the budget. Now, so, who, let me ask rhetorically, is the single largest holder of United States debt, which they're getting regular interest payments? Well, it's China. So if you're Tim Geithner, working closely with Barack Obama, who's probably getting a phone call from Rupert Murdoch, the Rothschilds, or whoever he's taking his calls from these days, we'll sit down and decide who gets paid and who doesn't. Now, if you're Tim Geithner sitting at a desk and you're, I can write a check for, let's pay the military first, that's most important, and let's send out some Social Security and let's pay some pensions. No, I don't think we'll pay the interest on the Chinese debt. It wouldn't fly politically, would it? So China can see the handwriting on the wall here. This strategic default is intended to pull the rug out of China's dollar holdings. And things are escalating extremely rapidly right now. We see the U.S. now sending 3 warships to Vietnam, standing up to China over the Spratly Islands, which I wrote about in Crossing the Rubicon. The military tensions are increasing as rapidly as anything else right now. I do see some questions coming in, and I'm going to try to get to those, but this is really important stuff I want to talk about tonight. But that brings me to Iraq. Iraq, we are going to get our asses handed to us in Iraq. It's building up in a nightmarish frenzy. First, we have Muqtada al-Sadr and the Mehdi army, which brought us to a standstill in southern Iraq around Fallujah for 2 years. This is an organized army. It's trained, totally backed by Iran, totally. But al-Sadr's followers are very loyal and very well disciplined. And anti-American sentiment is on the rise and becoming much more manifest because there is a December 31st deadline by which the U.S. has, I don't know who made that deal, it's not worth looking up now, but not a very bright person, has agreed to remove all U.S. military personnel, all, it's underlined, no exception, military personnel from Iraq by December 31st. Now, those of you who have followed me for a while, who read my articles at From the Wilderness, going back to 04, 05, Crossing the Rubicon, I've always said the U.S. has no intention of ever leaving Iraq. We built the 3 largest military bases outside the U.S., in Iraq, and we have an embassy that's larger than Vatican City with a staff of 8,000. And after we leave, that's supposed to go to 16,000. Those are all private military contractors, Mercs. But we have no intention of leaving Iraq. Now, it's gotten the attention has got so bad that that Iraqis, and not just al-Sadr Shias, but Sunnis and Kurds, you know, are getting on board with things like all American military personnel should be banned now from Iraqi government buildings. All of the Iraqi people want the U.S. out. And that's the rationale behind the fake, illusory, non-credible killing of Osama bin Laden, the need to urgently redeploy. And that explains a lot of what I'm seeing out of David Petraeus and Leon Panetta, who's a surprisingly effective DCI from what I can see. I'm not judging one way or the other, but it's to redeploy and to prepare for the coming chaos in Iraq. And we had a story on the World News Desk this week that said that Saudi Arabia is now looking at the U.S. pullout in Iraq and scrambling frantically to buy weapons all over the world. We are so going to get our butts kicked. And we commented, I think, last week on the show that Chinese National Offshore Oil Company, CNOC, or CNPC, excuse me, Chinese National Petroleum Company, had just turned on its first oil pumping facility in Iraq. And that's Chinese national property. And so with any major unrest in Iraq, with any outbreak of violence, especially destabilizing or even remotely threatening to Chinese interests, the Chinese military have and will have a right and will go to Iraq, which would put them in a head-to-head confrontation with the U.S. military and all of, you know, Iran. So the U.S. will be facing al-Sadr, the Sunnis, the Kurds, Iran, and China if it doesn't leave Iraq on December 31st. So these are really sporty times. Now, what happens if there is a U.S. government default? Well, we went through the check writing process, but the markets will absolutely tank because the whole world operates using the U.S. dollar as its global reserve currency. When trade deals are signed, they are signed to be denominated in U.S. dollars. U.S. AAA credit rating is the center of this $1 quadrillion-plus derivatives bubble that's hanging out there. All of the markets will go absolutely haywire. And the one uniform word that every commentator has said in the year that I've heard you read about U.S. government default being seriously discussed is disorder. It will create extreme disorder. Now, we're living right now we're living on the windowsill between horizon and event. There's a road song about that, too. We are living on the precipice right now as cargo thefts around the country are skyrocketing. Civil unrest, as we know from the World News Desk, you see it every day, people are going to go up like a matchstick. And it appears to be, I think as Max Kaiser said, and I think as I said, everything's going to go up all at once, and I agree. But I am still hammer-locked on the fact, and if you go look at the video alert I did on Collapse Night in April, I said we have until July before all the news is in and people understand that everything is collapsing and crashing, maybe until August as the earnings reports come in before it shakes out. And I wasn't anticipating the default then, but it is kind of a clever cover so that they can sell it to the American people. But all of this guarantees now one thing. If there is a default and everything goes haywire, the markets collapse, you know, pandemonium, both the Republicans and the Democrats will share in the blame. Now, there's one presidential candidate who has just announced that he is not going to seek re-election for his safe House seat in order to more fully pursue his run for president. That's Ron Paul. And those of you who have followed me for all my career, this is where I nailed you on so many of my predictions, and you were flabbergasted then. I called John Kerry, who was dead last in the polls. I called McCain. Ron Paul will be probably our next president. I'm pretty much convinced of it, and I find that alarming. Here's why. If it's this clear, this early, then something else is behind the scenes, and I don't know what it is. Now, I've met Ron Paul. He was in my video, Truth and Lies of 9/11. I have lauded his honesty and his courage and his WYSIWYG style. What you see is what you get. That's true of him. I've been concerned that he won't acknowledge peak oil. I still am. And he needs to acknowledge collapse. And I like him. But even the noblest warrior can be undermined from underneath can be manipulated in ways that are not fair, that are not bold frontal combat. And I wonder that if the powers that be, the same ones that are trying to kill each other over Dominique Strauss-Kahn and Rupert Murdoch, have got that angle covered too or not. I don't know. But some things are becoming clear, and it's going to be a heck of a year. All right, we got about 10 minutes left in the hour, and I am going to get some questions, and I'm going to pull a favorite, because I look in my inbox here, and I see an email from an old friend named Barry Silverthorne, who produced a movie called The End of Suburbia way back in 2003. I was in that one, too. Consider also the problem-reaction-solution paradigm. Whenever something like this happens, ask who benefits. Yes, that's one of the things I've always used, and Barry, you know that. Thanks for bringing it up. Does there need to be more government control? See quote below from Phil Reese on Russia Today. All right, let's read this quote. UK police suffer from lack of accountability, former spy. All right, I'm suspicious already. Too many spooks in there. Media analyst and author Phil Reese believes that manipulating the arrests of people is actually a common practice for British police, but he does not think they will succeed in deflecting attention away from themselves this time. I totally agree. If this can happen at the top of the police, look at this example it gives to officers down the line. He added, obviously the way the press is policed in Britain will definitely change, but I think we must be absolutely sure that that does not restrict journalism in doing its proper job. Well, I totally agree with that point. I think this is totally time to get aggressive on all of this. We are all watching for who benefits, yes, and that's one of the key things that we look for as this Olympian slugfest, this Olympian Rupert Murdoch cage fight. That's a good image, isn't it? Rupert Murdoch in a cage fight plays itself out, because that's how we will identify the people who he's fighting. We will see who emerges, and that was a very good comment, Barry. We have an email tonight, too, from Matthew Wilsonheimer. Hi. Mike, what are your thoughts on Earthships invented by Mike Reynolds in New Mexico, and is this our future? Funny you should ask. I just had a screening at my house last night of a wonderful new movie called Anima Mundi, which is an Australian film by Peter Charles Downey, which has shown, I think, in Melbourne and Sydney by now, and it's rocking people in Australia. And it takes peak oil and collapse, but now incorporates it all into a Gaian model. And it is one of the most amazing, refreshing new ways of looking at things I've ever seen. And, excuse me, I need some tea. Thank you, and I probably rubbed the microphone, too. Don't you love professional radio? A lot of good people in it, but David Holmgren of Permaculture, John Seed, Vandana Nayandam, I'm sure I mispronounced that. I'm in there, Noam Chomsky, but it's a great movie. And Mike Reynolds was in it. And he's great, brilliant. And, excuse me. I should take calls. Mike Reynolds is brilliant, and what he has to say about Earthships is amazing. I'm going to take a couple-second break and ask the board to put a song up while I get some water. I'll be right back.